versus machine, the high-frequency trading debate. Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money Podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts. From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, in for Jeremy Hobson. A new study claims high-frequency trading is taking money away from traditional investors. Our senior business correspondent, Bob Moon, joins us live now to explain. Good morning, Bob.
Hey, Stacey.
Bob, first of all, if you don't mind, give us a quick refresher on what exactly high-frequency trading is.
Well, ever since the big stock market flash crash, that roller coaster price plunge back in 2010, regulators have been trying to get a handle on the huge growth in lightning-fast computer trading. Now we have some hard numbers in this study from the Commodities Futures Trading Commission. It shows that the traders who are using computers to try to gain the upper hand are, in fact, gaining the upper hand, not only against smaller retail investors, but in many cases, even against big institutional traders, from pension funds to brokerages. And get this, according to this study, computer traders are raking in a profit of as much as $5 per trade from small investors. Millions of trades, it all adds up.
Do these findings come as a surprise to government regulators?
Well, some government officials have actually been waiting for some definitive numbers on this, but some experts are already cautioning that this is only one side of the story, since the competition between all these computer trading outfits has actually helped lower trading costs for smaller investors. So this certainly doesn't end the debate.
Bob Moon in Los Angeles. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
Let's take a look at the markets. Europe is feeling good this morning on news that Greece is going to buy back some of its debt. London's FTSE is up 0.25%. Germany's DAX is up 0.2%. Paris's CAC 40 up 0.8%. U.S. markets did lose some ground yesterday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped 0.4% to close at 12,965. 200 countries are meeting in Doha, Qatar this week for the latest round of United Nations climate change talks. New sources of fossil fuels are stirring up that conversation. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Eve Tro has that story.
Just a few years ago, about half of America's power plants ran on coal. Now there's a massive switch to natural gas because there's so much of it from fracking. It burns cleaner, emits about half as much greenhouse gas. But the real motivation for the switch?
The fact that natural gas prices are low.
That's Jill Feblowitz at IDC Energy Insights. If the fracking boom hadn't happened, I asked, would we see more solar and wind power?
I don't think so.
It'd be cheaper to install better filters and keep burning coal, she says. But here's how climate change experts, like Kevin Kennedy at the World Resources Institute, see the natural gas switch.
Natural gas can buy us a little bit of time.
A little bit of time while we're polluting less to build new energy systems that can power our economy without pollution. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf online at marketplace.org/thebigbook. Politicians across the Midwest are pressing the president to declare a state of emergency on the Mississippi River in order to keep barge traffic flowing. Every year, roughly $180 billion worth of freight makes its way up and down the river, and an epic shortage of water in the Mississippi has put major pressure on everything from food items to electricity. From St. Louis Public Radio, Adam Allington reports.
Fresh on the heels of the worst drought in a half century, river levels are forecast to drop even farther in the coming weeks. Down on the Mississippi River, I met up with one of the men tasked with keeping traffic flowing over less and less water.
My name is Lieutenant Colin Fogarty, and we are on the deck of Coast Guard Cutter Cheyenne, homeported here in St. Louis, Missouri.
Fogarty says the Coast Guard has deployed a fleet of additional ships to St. Louis to help set navigation markers for barges like the ones chugging by us.
We are looking at a hopper barge right there that's probably pushing a grain, and we are looking at two Petro barges right there.
Despite the best efforts of the Coast Guard, it's actually the Army Corps of Engineers that has the most direct control over shipping. Every year at this time, the Corps cuts the flow out of reservoirs upstream on the Missouri River to hold water back for the spring shipping season. But people downstream say they need that water right now. Craig Phillip is the CEO of Ingram Barge Company based in Tennessee.
We estimate that $7 billion in cargo will stop moving on the Mississippi River if a 9-foot channel cannot be maintained through the winter months.
Reducing the flow on the Missouri River is expected to drop river levels in St. Louis by an extra 3 to 4 feet. A group of Midwest politicians is asking President Obama to declare an economic emergency and direct the Army Corps to reopen the dams. But upstream states say not so fast. South Dakota, for example, has called dibs on millions of gallons of water for use in the state's oil fracking boom. Illinois Senator Dick Durbin says asking the president to settle what amounts to a water war between states is a dicey prospect.
Clearly, we're in a zero-sum situation. We may be able to help our commerce downstream, but if we do it at the expense of those communities and states upstream, you can understand. They're not going to stand by for this. I'm not sure I would either.
For the time being, barge operators might be able to limp along with reduced load sizes and smaller shipping lanes. Major General John Peabody is with the Army Corps of Engineers.
We need rain. That's the bottom line. Or we're going to have to take other measures.
Those other measures could include costlier options, such as moving freight by rail or truck. In St. Louis, I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
And finally, the mayor of Newark, New Jersey, is going to live off food stamps for 1 week starting today. Mayor Cory Booker kicked off the challenge on Twitter and has already posted a grocery store receipt online. In all, Booker will have about $30 to spend on food for the week. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.